Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
For all that you've done, and we have one that is scheduled to be baptized today, and we're just believing that that happens. And God has a revival for our area, for our city, for our region. And I'm going to be a part of it. How about you? Amen. We're going in our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 22. Mark, chapter number 8, beginning at verse 22. It says, reading from the New King James Version, "Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, 'I see men like trees walking.'" Or as the King James Version says, "I see men as trees walking." "Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly." This man encountered the healing touch of Jesus. And I just believe today that that healing touch is here. And that before you leave here today, you can feel it settle into your life, into your family, into your situation. And I want to preach to you today, men as trees. Men as trees. Before you're seated, would you just lift up your hands to heaven one more time and ask God to speak to us through His Word, Lord. We thank You for Your presence, Your touch that is in this place today. It's undeniable. It's unmistakable, God. And we are so grateful for it. I pray that You would speak to each of us through Your Word. We know Your Word is always anointed, but I pray that You would anoint us to hear it, anoint me to proclaim it. And everyone said in Jesus' name, God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to keep standing, so feel sorry for me. There is an old saying, oftentimes, most often, shared by the consoling parent of a rejected teenager, that goes like this: beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Have you ever seen a couple and just wondered, what happened there? Now, come on, don't leave me all alone. I know I'm not the only one. Like, you've seen somebody, you're like, that guy must have some money because that's all he's working with. And that girl is way too pretty. It reminds me of a time my wife and I, we were driving down the road, and we were having a conversation that I think is a normal conversation for married people to have. If it's not, don't tell me, because we're still deceived, I guess. But we're having the conversation about whether or not we would get remarried if something tragic happened to the other person. And finally, in a moment of seriousness, which is rare for me, I looked over at her and I said, "Well, you know, Annie, in all seriousness, if being married again would make you happy, I want you to do that." I said, "But what I don't want you to do is just to settle because you're lonely." And she said, "Oh, don't worry, I won't make that mistake twice." And so I nearly wrecked the car right then. I know we're both getting in this casket right now. But the reality is, the truth of the matter is, that two people can see the same thing, and while looking at the same object, the same thing, they can have two completely different impressions of what they are seeing. Human eyes, of course, are a pair of complex optical organs. And when they are healthy, they detect and convert light into electrochemical impulses. And they transmit those signals to the brain. And as a result, there is vision. But in the first century, the time that this scripture that I drew your attention to in the text, blindness was a very common malady. Everyone knew somebody that was unwilling to see. Some, of course, were blind by birth, like the man in John chapter number 9 that Jesus healed, Bartimaeus. I mentioned him earlier in my remarks. Others, of course, were blind, having lost their sight through disease or injury or inadequate hygiene or just advanced age. And in the Hebrew law, the condition of blindness was considered so serious that if you ever caused someone else to lose their sight, the adage was enforced, eye for an eye. And so it's interesting to me this morning that as common of a malady as blindness was, as lack of vision was in that day, that there is not a single recorded instance in the Old Testament of someone without it ever receiving it by a miracle. To be sure, you can find many miracles in the Old Testament. You can read of a leper being cleansed, Naaman, as he dipped in the Jordan River 7 times. You can find examples of the dead being given new life. It happened on multiple occasions in the Old Testament. But you can search the Scripture and you will not find one single example in the Old Testament writings of someone who was physically blind having their eyes opened. And so blindness in the Scripture was a hopeless condition. It was a hopeless condition with disastrous consequences. As the writer of Proverbs, stay with me now, would say in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so it is in this environment, it is with this common and hopeless condition that is permeating the society in that day, that the Old Testament prophets would begin to put pen to parchment as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit, and they would begin to write words like this that you would find in Isaiah chapter number 35, verse 4, when he would say, "Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with the recompense of God, he will come and save you," speaking prophetically of one that was to come. Then he would continue in verse 5 and say, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." He said, "There is a day that is coming when I will open the eyes of the blind, and those without the ability to see will suddenly have their vision restored." And it is no wonder that when we consider the fact that never had a blind eye been opened in the Old Testament, that one of the signs of the Messiah would be the opening of blind eyes, because what is impossible with man is never impossible with God. And so when Jesus comes, he does something that they have never seen before. And he doesn't do it just one time or 2 times. But there are more recorded miracles of the blind eyes being opened than any other type of miracle in Jesus' ministry. As the blind man previously blind would say in verse 32 of John 9, "Since the world began, it was not heard of that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind." He recognized the significance that for all the hope that you might have if you were a leper, there was no hope if you were blind, until Jesus steps into the scene and suddenly he begins hearing the reports of blind eyes being opened, and he found his way to Jesus somehow, and he began to cry out. And his testimony was that even though it had never been done before, it now has been done for me. And I've got to just preach to you today and tell you that there is one truth that we must all embrace in our lives if we are ever going to see God do in and for us what he desires to do. And it is this truth: God specializes in the impossible. Hear me now.
When the doctors say it is impossible, God specializes in the impossible. When your past says it's impossible, God specializes in the impossible. When your doubt says it's impossible, God is able to do the impossible. Mark 10:27 says, Jesus looking upon them says, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. I want to just preach to somebody on this Sunday morning a reminder that there is nothing that is too hard for our God. There is no situation that's too hard for our God. There is no sickness that's too hard for our God. There is no family situation that's too difficult for God. God, with Him, all things are possible. Look over at your neighbor and say, God can do anything. You say, well, I don't see it. Well, that's a good place to be in. I don't see how God could love me. That's a good place to find yourself in. You say, how and why? Because God specializes in touching eyes that cannot see. I don't see how God can use me. I don't see how God could save them. I don't see how God could work in this city. I don't see it. I don't see it. Oh, that's a good place to be in, because when Jesus shows up, He's able to touch eyes that cannot see. That's the kind of place that God likes to move and work so that He can get the glory. Hear me. I believe that before we leave here this morning, you are going to be able to see some things that you have not seen before. And it is not because I'm here. It's not because of the songs that were sung, but it's because Jesus is here, and if you will let Him, He will touch your eyes to see. Truth is, if we were to be honest with ourselves, we have all been in these places where we have been unable to see the love of God. We have been unable, as it were, to see our way through our problems and our dilemmas and our circumstances, unable to manage our way through. We are, as Isaiah described in Isaiah 59, like blind people. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as though we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in night. We are in desolate places as dead men. That has been some of our testimonies, and perhaps it is some testimony here today. Like, the sun may be shining, but I don't see the sun. I feel as though I'm just reaching around, just trying to find some source of stability. And I tell you that you are in the right place, because only Jesus Christ can push away the darkness that fills your mind. Only Jesus Christ can push away the doubt that tries to steal your joy. Only Jesus can give sight to the blind. And so John would come, he would send his disciples rather, and he would say, ask Jesus if He's the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus, He looks at the disciples of John, and He begins, the Bible says in verse 21, that in the same hour He cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirit, and unto many that were blind He gave sight. And then Jesus answering said to them, go your way and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, how the blind see. He said, if you're looking for evidence as to whether or not I am the one that you should be looking for, look around at how the blind see. If you're wondering if Jesus is your answer, can I tell you, look around. There are plenty of evidence here in this room that the blind are seeing. If you're wondering if Jesus can be your hope, look around. There are people who walked into church just like you did, and they felt hopeless, but Jesus touched their eyes so that they could see. There are testimonies all over this house of how people were blind to hope and to joy and to peace, but now they see. He is the one that touches blind eyes. And so we come to our text today, and the Bible says they brought the man to Jesus and they begged Him to touch him. And this is an interesting point to me. They brought him. The miracle that is about to unfold here in this text, it begins with somebody who had enough faith, who had enough concern to bring him and beg for Jesus to touch him. And this story is not unique in that detail. In fact, of the 28 recorded miracles of healing or deliverance found in the Gospels, only 3 times does the Bible say that the person needing a touch made their own way to where Jesus was. Other times, their healing was the result of Jesus just passing by or Him showing up where they already are. But overwhelmingly, hear this now, 16 times the Bible says that the people who received their healing touch were brought to Jesus. More people were brought to Him than ever sought Him themselves. The miracle in somebody else's life is often connected to your willingness to bring them to Jesus. And I don't want to mess with your theology too much this morning, but only 3 of those miracles that happen in the Gospels happen inside the walls of the synagogue. More often, the miracles happened outside of the church when people recognized that there was somebody that needed a touch from Jesus, and they said, I've got to get them to Him. And I believe that many of the miracles that we're going to see in this end time church will be the result of people bringing other people to Jesus in ordinary places. It's good that you're at church today, and I believe that God can touch you here at church today, but we've got to begin to believe that God can touch our blind eyes in the coffee house and on our workplace, that what God desires to do cannot be contained in the church house, but it's going to spill out of the church house and into the streets. And I need to open my eyes and see that God wants to use me to be a part of somebody else's miracle in their life, because Jesus is the only one around us that can touch blind eyes. But notice now what happens next in verse 23, as Jesus, the Bible says, takes him by the hand and leads him out of town. Now, this man, again, is blind. He survives by staying around the same and familiar places where he knows where everything is, where he's familiar and he's aware. He doesn't have to think too much about what's around the corner. He lives and survives in familiar places. And so Jesus brings him by the hand to somewhere unfamiliar, to somewhere uncomfortable. Because you know, perhaps the reason why we still deal with the same struggles in our lives is because we're unwilling to change our surroundings. Because you can't have God do a new thing in your life if you refuse to leave old places. Can't get a new breakthrough when you're still hanging on to an old habit. You can't get a new touch when you're still trying to live on the same old commitment and the same old prayer life. You want to do things as it's always been done, and yet you're saying, God, why aren't you doing a new thing? But maybe God wants to take you by the hand on this Sunday morning and say, if you'll go with me, I'll show you something you've never seen before. And if you'll trust me, I'll do something in your life that you could never imagine before. But you've got to be willing to step out and do things that are going to make you uncomfortable, and you're going to have to step away from the familiar places. That same old prayer life isn't going to bring you to a new touch. That same old commitment isn't going to take you to a new place. But if you'll say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll do what you want me to do, because I refuse to stay blind. It is in that place that God can touch us in a new way. You know, it makes us uncomfortable to step out of where we are sometimes and come to the front and say, I need God to give me a touch. Say, well, God can touch me right where I am. That's right, He can. But sometimes God wants to see your willingness to get uncomfortable and to go to a new place and do a new thing. Perhaps the thing that God is calling you to do is going to require you to get uncomfortable in the process. And so Jesus, He takes him by the hand, He brings him out of the city, and then He does something unconventional. He spits in his eyes. Now, do not try this one at home. I'm not sure that I know how to grow a church yet, but I'm pretty sure this is on the do not list. A first-time guest comes, spit in their face. But I want you to notice what happens. The Bible says
Jesus asks him if he sees anything. And what does he say? He says, I see. Now, don't get too ahead of me now. I see. His first joyful words, maybe in a very long time, I see. It is not total darkness now. Now, what I see does not fully make sense, but I see. Before, I had to be led by the hand. I was like a blind man grasping for the wall, but now I see. And if we were to be honest today, many of us, we have lived in seasons without vision, without sight. We've lived in seasons of darkness where we've lived in places where we could not see anything at all. We could not see God's love. We could not see a future. We could not see. It was like darkness, absent of the light of God, as it were. And perhaps you would be honest with yourself right now and say, I do not fully understand all that I am seeing, but I can see something. It's as though I'm suddenly aware of something that I was unaware of before. And although it does not make sense to me yet, I still see something. See, perhaps some of you came in here today not able to see anything, but as the Spirit of God began to move and as worship began to flow, you began to have a little bit of hope and you began to have a little bit of faith. And maybe you even started praying a little, Lord, maybe you could touch my family. Maybe you could move for me. Maybe you could work for me. What's happening? There is a miracle in process. You are seeing something. I may not be where I want to be yet, but I am not where I once was. I can see something. Hear me now. You've got to learn to celebrate the progress on your way to the promise. I haven't seen God do everything I want Him to do yet, but I see Him doing something. I may not see exactly how it's all coming together yet, but I can see something. Hear me now. The enemy wants to try to take what you don't see and try to convince you that because you don't see everything, that there's nothing to see. But open up your eyes. There's something to see. God is working. God is moving. God is touching. Now I can sense that God loves me. I don't know why. I don't know how. I can sense that God is a healer. I don't know how He's going to do it for me yet, but I can see. I can sense that God is able. Somebody needs to learn to worship on your way to your miracle by saying, thank you, God, for what you have already done for me. Come on, why don't you lift up your hands just for a moment? If God has ever blessed you, if God has ever touched you, if you can sense that God is doing something in your life, would you just praise Him for a moment? Say, God, thank you for sight. Come on, I feel the presence of the Lord here right now. Would you just respond for just a moment and thank God for what He has done? God, I thank you. Hear me, your ability to see anything, your ability to believe anything is evidence of God's touch and God's hand at work in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is working for you. God is moving in your family. God is at work in your finances. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so you've got to just sense that there is something happening. And so it was. You can be seated just for a moment. I will not be, but just a few more moments longer. He said, I see. But he did not stop there. He said, I see men as trees. You see, he didn't stop with I see, content with what and how he saw. He said, I see men as trees, and they are walking. He said, it doesn't all make sense to me. I see men, but they look like trees. And this is interesting to me, because he sees something moving that cannot move. Trees are immovable. They are immobile. And so what he initially sees still in his mind feels like an impossibility still, because he's seeing movement in something that does not move. And if we are not careful,
you and I, we can get content in a place like this. Aware that we can see something, but not fully believing or understanding what it is that we are seeing. Content seeing men as trees, as immovable, as stationary, as in place. Many of us, we see ourselves like this. Sure, we sense something, but what we sense still does not seem impossible. Still does not seem possible. It's immovable. It's stationary. Can I tell you, the enemy doesn't need you to quit coming to church. As long as you can quit seeing a future for you in the church. Future. He doesn't need the church to close its doors as long as the church will close its eyes, as long as we don't see revival ahead, as long as we don't see a future, as long as we don't see any movement, as long as what we see seems like where we are is where we have to stay. Because a people without a vision, they perish. People without the ability to see. But not just the sea. No, no, no. One translation would say of that verse, without a prophetic vision, without a vision for the future, the people cast off restraint. You can't see ahead, so you stop living as though there is a future. You can't, if all you see are impossibilities, hear me now. Don't stay in that place. Get another touch. If all you can see is struggle and addiction, you need another touch. If all you can see is divorce for your marriage, you need another touch. If all you can see is bankruptcy, you need another touch. If all you can see is defeat, you need another touch. Hear me. Too many people walk away from God, not because of bitterness or because of sin, but because they quit looking for more in their lives. They quit believing that God is able to give them a full touch. They quit believing that God is able to help them see the impossible. They quit believing that they can move forward. Stand with me all over the house as the music begins to come. I read a story some time back of a group of people. You can find this story for yourself. A little over 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed the northeast coast of America. A year later, the story continued. They established a town site. The next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government wanted to build a road 5 miles westward in the wilderness. And in the fourth year, the people impeached their town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? The article continued and said, here were people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across the ocean. But in just a few years, they were not able to even see 5 miles out of town. It's as though they were seeing men as trees. Like, it's not possible. It's not something I can do. It's not something I could see. I tell you, I celebrate what God has done in our lives, but I tell you that I am not content with what God has done in my life. I rejoice and I am thankful for all the blessings of God, but I want more. I thank God for all that He's done in my family, but I need Him to do more. I thank God for what He's doing in the church, but I need Him to do more. I thank God for how He's used me, but I want to see Him do more. I thank God for my prayer life, but I know I need more. I'm telling you that the enemy wants you to get stuck in this place where you're seeing men as trees. Not as you once were, but never fully seeing movement and potential and hope. I'll never forget the story I read of a lady named Jewel Shupin. The article that I read about her said that for most people, becoming blind would be a nightmare, but for her, it was the fulfillment of a lifelong dream. She was quoted saying, "By the time I was six, I remember that thinking about being blind made me feel comfortable." She said, "I really feel that this is the way I was supposed to be born, that I should have been blind from birth." Despite the hospital's intervention, she had tried to take her own eyesight through this gruesome act using a drain cleaner. They tried to save her vision, but her eyes were permanently damaged, although it took half a year for the damage to take effect. I'll never forget this statement. She said, "When I woke up in the hospital the following day, I was joyful until I turned on my back and opened my eyes. I was so enraged that I saw." Finally, her wish came true some 6 months later when she was completely blind. Jesus would say, "I've come into this world that they which see might not see, and they that see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." I tell you that if you get to the place where you are content with what you see, you can lose your sight altogether. But if you will be at the place where you say, "Lord, I want to see greater things. I don't want to see as I've seen before. I don't want to live in darkness without hope, without a future, without clarity. But I want you to touch my eyes that I may see." I believe that the hand of God would settle in this place and begin to touch you, and you would begin to see hope and a future and a plan. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I feel the presence of the Lord here right now in a powerful way. And I know that there are people here who you came into this place just groping for the wall, just trying to find a little something to give you a sense of stability, trying to figure out and navigate where you are. And I tell you, that is not the will of God for you. God wants to touch your eyes that you would see. And perhaps there are many of us here today that we have received the touch of God before, and we have experienced that healing touch, that touch of hope and strength. But you would be honest and say, "I need another touch. I do not see as I want to see. I do not see all that I have wanted to see. There's things that I'm seeing that don't make sense to me. The things I'm hearing preached and I'm believing in a sense, but it still doesn't make sense to me." God wants to touch your eyes that you would see. And perhaps it would start today with you just getting a little uncomfortable and saying, "Lord, I don't want to stay as I've been. I want you to touch me today." So right there where you're standing, just for a moment, I'm going to ask you just to begin to reach out to the Lord. I believe the power of the Word of God is connected to our ability and our willingness to respond to it. That while the Word of God is powerful, in order for it to be powerful in your life, you've got to say yes to it. You've got to be willing to respond to it. And so right there where you're standing, would you just begin to respond to the Word of the Lord and reach up to Him and say, "God, I want you to touch my eyes. Lord, you see where I am. You see what I'm facing. You know what I'm up against. God, I need a touch today." Perhaps you've been living in a place where you don't see any hope. Please don't leave without having and receiving a touch from God today. That God has hope for you, and God has a future for you, and God has a ministry and a plan for you. Don't leave here wondering if God can save your family today. Get a touch. Allow Him to touch your eyes so that you can see what He is doing in, for, and through you. And if you would just be transparent and honest enough to say that you want another touch today, why don't you just begin to step out of where you are, and we're going to sing together and we're going to pray and just say, "Lord, touch me. God, move for me. God, touch my eyes that I may see as you want me to see. I don't want to be content in what I've seen in the past. I want to see new things. I want to see greater things. I has not seen. But if you'll trust Him, He'll begin to reveal it to you." Perhaps you need God to touch your body today and you don't see how healing is possible. I tell you that you ought to leave here with fresh faith and fresh hope, trusting that God is able to touch. Whatever your need is today, Jesus is the one you're looking for. If you've never repented of your sins, today would be a good day for you to reach up to Him and say, "God, forgive me. I believe that you are able to forgive. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, today would be a good day for you to say, I see it. I see it, God. I see that you love me. I see that you have forgiven me. If you've never been filled with His Spirit, there's things that you cannot see without the Holy Ghost. And God can fill you with His Spirit, evidenced by the speaking in other tongues. You can see that today. Come on, let your faith begin to rise in the house. God, touch us today that we might see. Help us to see a future and a hope. Help us to see, God, that you are for us and not against us.